to pay for the empty boxes. God's always, from the first time I ever heard him, blessed my heart in his preaching. I guess the first time I ever heard Brother Milby preach, he preached on pull her in, fill her up, and check the oil. Next time I heard him preach, he preached on Alligator Alley. And one of our daughters, who was not married then, got the tape, come home, wore the thing plumb out, and had to get another. It was about raising babies and all of that, and she knew she was supposed to marry a preacher, and I don't know, but it all worked out. And this man's been a real influence on that child's life. She'd ride him, he'd ride her. In fact, I think it come down to it, Brother Mibbies. You told her, go home, write the letter on blue stationery, put it in a blue envelope, and send it off. Tell it just like it is. And it worked. Thank God it worked. And then he preached well, 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 Dr. Allison. And he never ceases to amaze me in the preaching of the Word of God. Brother Hanley, you come now and preach to us again.
Exodus chapter 2. The Father's already told you what I'll preach on, I guess. And my old hearts are trembling this morning because of the responsibility to preach the Word of God. And I'm ever so conscious when I stand in an awesome place like this of other men that are sitting listening that are so far above me. I thank God for, especially this morning, for Brother Allison. The first time I heard him, I'd never heard a seminary professor before, let alone a seminary president. To be honest, I wasn't expecting too much. He got started, and I told my wife, I said, are you sure they said seminary president? So I said, that fella knows the Lord. And the next time I heard him, I said, he did better this time than he did the last time I heard him. And I didn't know what I was destined to say that every time I heard him. And Tuesday, I said, my wife, you know, I believe that's the best I ever heard Dr. Allison do. And I appreciate him this morning. Thank God for Brother Lockheed's preaching. I'm just talking about today. That's about all I can stand is what's been preached today. Now read with me, if you will, the last verse of chapter number 1, and then we'll go into chapter number 2. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on Alligator Alley. Down in the land of Goshen, there came a bunch of wagons. Jacob's family, because they were tenders of cattle. And they set up camp down in the green lands of Goshen. And they began to multiply in the days of Joseph. And multiply and multiply. And finally, Egypt's cloud got afraid that if they got into a war, that little group in Goshen that had grown into an enormous multitude would take sides with their enemies. And there rose a king that knew not Joseph, that had forgotten about him, and devised in his heart that the way to stop all of that was to kill all them boy babies. Therefore, to get rid of God's crowd. You see, this age is not the first generation to think about destroying little babies. It started in Egypt. It's still a product of Egypt. Them little boy babies was born. They'd take them down and throw them in the river to the alligators. That old muddy Nile frothed over with the blood of the little babies. I can see them Egyptian soldiers come around to the Hebrew dwellings. Say, "Is any boy babies in this house?" I won't tell you folks today that as sure as you're sitting here, the devils are walking from door to door, checking about your children, and he's determined to get them. And unless we as God's people find the plan and the will of God for our family, he's definitely going to get your young'uns. Up and down the street from door to door, the weeping and the mourning of mamas and daddies that took them boy babies out of the mother's arms. The devil has no pity on you and on your heart. He'll destroy your child any way that he can. But I read anew this morning over in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It said that the parents of Moses did not the commandment of Pharaoh. There's a couple that is the offspring of Levi. Boys, I won't hang up right there a while, but I'm just going to touch it. I believe sons of Levi ought to marry daughters of Levi. I believe saved folk ought to marry saved. I believe Baptist folk ought to marry Baptist folk. That little old boy baby that was born into their family, I can just hear Abraham and Jacob then say, "Our sweetest little old boy." And Amram said, "Honey, sure as that little old boy's a breathing, the soldiers are going to come." Jochebed said, "Uh-uh." She said, "I've determined in my heart that I'm going to save this little old boy." She didn't know, but in the mind of God, way back under before the days of Joseph, God had already seen this little boy have grown into an 80-year-old man leading that flock out through the desert. Thank God. I'm glad God's always got a plan. I'm glad, thank God, you don't have to leave your children to change, but the plan of God is still in motion, and it will follow God's plan. It'll come out all right. I see Amram say, yes, sir. Sir, we've come looking for boy babies. Way back yonder in the back room, I see Jochebed had that little old Moses in her arms. Do you ever wonder why crying didn't give him away? I see her saying, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I believe if the Grateful Dead and AC and DC had been playing on the radio, he'd have screamed like any sensible child. And she hit him. The Word of God said they hit him for 3 months. When they realized how they couldn't hide him any longer, I believe it's in there between the lines somewhere, how the Jochebed and Amram was back there in the back room saying, oh God, I don't know what your plan is for this boy, but I want you to know, Lord, we're not afraid of the King's commandment, and we've come back here to pray and ask you to help us. See Amram come out of the back room one day, wiping tears, and said, honey, I believe if we get him in the ark, he'd be all right. I see Jochebed in the late night, performing down on her knees, that little old, twisting them little old flags and them little old sticks together, and forming that little old ark. I see her form a little while and pick him up and lay him down in there and take him back out and say, just a little bit longer here. He's grown a little bit. I won't tell you this morning, Mama and Daddy, you better be praying that God will help you how to find a way of deliverance for your child. And I just want to be truthful with you. Dr. Spock don't know, never did know how what'll save and bring your child through trouble. But I'll tell you, if you'll get in touch with a fella that made Dr. Spock and allowed him to live out of the age he's in by his mercy and grace, you'll find out he's got a plan. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord Samir. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I hear another knock on the door. And the soldier came and said, Somebody told us there's a little a baby in the house. Said, if we get another rumor, we're going to have to come and check it out. Said, What's that I hear back in the house? That's my wife. She's a singing. Said, we don't understand the language. Said, she ain't a singing for you. Amram said, she ain't a singing for you. Amen. She figured out she couldn't hold him no longer. Now, I won't tell you, Mom and Daddy. You can do what you want to and what you can for that child, but you better do what you're going to do and do it quick, because the time's going to come when you're going to walk with him down to the plane station, down to the railroad station, walk with him down to his car, help him load his luggage, and wave goodbye. And that'll be the last time, maybe, that you'll ever get to pray with him and talk to him about Jesus. While you've got her with you, you ought to just pray and ask God to help you. I don't know how to raise that child. I raised three youngins, made an awful mess. If I could go back, but oh, you can't go back. Me and my wife talk about what we'd do differently if we had them boys. And I said, I never did teach none of my boys and girls to pick the banjo. And I really do hate that. And I've got a boy that plays the piano and daughter plays the piano. And one plays the guitar. But I never did teach them to play a banjo. Never did teach them to play. I never did sing them together like I ought to. And get them around, whip them, make them sing. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that for nothing in the world. You start them out right and whip them into it. They'll come to it after a while. I'm dismayed today because we've let the public schools teach us that we ought not to whip our children. God help us when we leave the directions of the Book of God and take the directions of people that don't even believe in God. We're asking to raise a hellish mass in this world. I read not long ago of a lady. She had raised her child on a pretty good job, she thought. And the boy got sick and went to the hospital. I'm going to tell you this afternoon, folks, this morning, that you better bow to God's plan. I don't know what God knows for your child, but I know God knows. And the doctor said this boy's going to die. Now, folks, I won't tell you. You may have some real super plans for your boy or your girl, but you better give them to God. Just let him see to them and see that they're raised in the way God wants it done. Instead of letting something happen, that boy's going to die. She went back out yonder behind the house and said, Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've lived for you. I've took that boy and dug him to Sunday school and church. And I haven't done what I ought to do a lot of times. But said, I'm going to tell you what, God, I've done my best for you. And said, I'm going to tell you, if that boy quits breathing, I'll walk away from you and away from church. And I'll never darken the door of a church again. And I'll curse God and commit every sin that I can commit if you don't let my child live. She went back in the house and her husband called and said, honey, all of a sudden that boy's took a turn for the better. And said, he's better, better, better. The doctor came in and said, I don't understand it. In the last hour, all the signs are showing better, better, better. And she said, I know why. I got things straightened out back down yonder with God this morning behind the house. And I told him what it was. But I want you to follow a little while, if you will. Because that boy had miraculously got well, and she began to bathe him and let his hair grow. Refused, you know, to cut his hair and say, just such a pretty little curls hanging down. Said, I don't want to hold him down there and be ashamed. Just let it grow a little longer. I won't tell you what you're doing, Mom and Daddy. You let that little old child wear them frilly clothes, that little old boy, and let his hair grow, or you're growing up homo bait. But they skipped 20. They skipped for about 18 or 20 years, and the scene opened again at the state penitentiary, and a long walk down a long hall up to a chair that was charged with thousands of volts of electricity, and that boy sitting in the chair up for murder and a screaming lunatic mama that said, God, I'm sorry, I've said what I've said. You thought I turned you loose on him, let him die. He'd have woke in the presence of God, but now it's nothing but hell forever. Thank you. My boy plays the piano and he got better and better at it. And I guess I told you, but I want to hear it again and I'm going to tell it again. He came in one day and said, Mama, Daddy, this little old group at school, he didn't want to tell me the whole story, said they've got a bunch that sing and play instruments and they want me to play the piano for them. And I said, son, what is it? Well, he said, just a group of boys getting together. I said, what kind of music? And he dropped his head and said, it ain't church music, Daddy. And I said, no. No, no. And he came back later and said, Daddy, they came with a handful of money today and said, this is what they got last night. And said, it's more than $100, $200. And said, we want you to, if you'll just come and play for us. And said, Daddy, that boy, it looked good. And I said, son, I've been down this morning behind the log. I'm praying and told God, every time you hit a lick, I want God to take one of your fingers. That you'll never play again if that's what you're going to play. You'll say, preacher, that's cruel. That's what he said. But he didn't go. Sometimes when I come in on Saturday afternoon, a lot of times I'll drive all day on Saturday to get in from the meeting, and he'll up late in the afternoon, he'll call me and say, Daddy, I'm kind of tired. And I'll say, well, and I'll be skin hard to hold my eyes open. I'll say, what do you want? And he'll say, now, I've been teaching Sunday school, and he doesn't go to the church where I pastor. And he said, I'm kind of messed up on some scripture here, and I wonder if it'd be all right if I was come over me and you'd sit together a while and hey, glory to his sweet and holy name. Oh, I said, son, I feel the best. I said, just come on over and great God, we'll spend time together. I thank God we'll study the Word of God. When he leaves, he'll say, Daddy, don't forget to pray for me. And I'll say, I won't send me. You pray for me and we'll have prayer together. Hallelujah. Now yonder that old muddy Nile of flowing them alligators. Looking for more of them boy babies. Here I am around and say, honey, we're going to have to go through with it. Today's the day. They're going to come a-looking, come in the house. Now, just because you have your front room cleaned and the Bible in there, so when the visitors come, they'll think everything is all right. That don't get the bedroom cleaned out. You see, the devil gets in the bedroom where all them pictures are on the wall of all them so-called heathens, all them so-called heroes that are heathens. Now, thank God, if you want to put pictures on the wall, I'd get a picture of old Brother Ray, get a picture of old Dr. Allison, and hang up on the wall and say, right there now, folks, if you're gonna say that's a real person, thank God, God, do it, the old men are gone. I wouldn't let them hell-cursed records stay around my child's bedroom. See them take that little lark and Amram and Jochebed and the sister that I know of. Went down by the river's brink, I suppose, just a tad before daylight, so none of them soldiers would see him going. Took him down there and laid him in the flags at the river's brink. And I see Jochebed said, wait a minute. Daddy. I hear little old Miriam say, "Mama, can I kiss him a last time? Kiss that little old boy." And Amram said, "Let me hold him just a minute. Lay him down in the flags by the river's brink." And I see him stand back and watch the current begin to bobble him out and lodge him again. Wash him out and bobble him and come back in again. And Jochebed said, "Daddy, we don't know what we can do." And turn around and go back up to the house. But Miriam said, "Mom, can I just stay down here with him and walk along and see what happens to him?" Amram and Jochebed back up yonder in the back room saying, "Oh God, close the mouths of the alligators. God, do something down in the river today that's never been done before. Great God, your hands are not tied. You know that little boy's worth of saving, God. He's the prettiest thing we've ever seen. God, save him." Of yonder in Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's daughter got up and said, "For some reason, brother, I just feel so dirty this morning, and I need to go down and wash myself in the river." Out yonder in the middle of the night, I see one of them alligators say, "Oh." I see a little old ark up there, and I see a little old arm hanging over the side. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to hide them babies from us. Now, you boys had babies yesterday, or for dinner today, it's my time. I see them roll open them jaws and head for that thing, and whammo! Turn around and come back with them eyes kind of glass, and they said, "What's wrong with you, Fred?" Said, "I run into something about the time I got there. I run into something. I said, I don't know. I don't know what it's made out of. I bet it said on the side of that thing, that shield, it said Mama's Prayer." Well, them boys said, "You don't know what you're doing. Who ever heard of an invisible shield? We ate babies yesterday. We can eat babies today." And I see another or two roll and start, and all at once they swap ends and come back. And they said, "What is wrong?" They said, "There's something inside of us." Said the Creator, said, "Don't touch that boy." My brother went to Korea during the heat of the war. My dad and my mama lost weight and lost years off their life while he's there. My mama'd hear praying in the night. I remember the morning when she kissed him goodbye. I thought surely she'd ask him, "Son, do you have enough money? Have I got you enough clothes packed? Is everything fixed for you?" She was busying herself in the kitchen. She didn't want to face them last few moments. And my brother sat with that AWOL bag. And finally the time came and he went and pushed them curtains apart that was hanging on that little hickory stick on them nails and said, "Mom, it's time for me to go." And I remember Mama dropping her skillet and coming, laid them arms up around her, twisted with arthritis, and said, "Honey, are you absolutely sure, beyond a reasonable doubt, that if something happened to my boy, that I'd meet you again in glory?" Hallelujah! My brother said, "He's a bridge builder.
building a bridge that morning. They went out there in the water to build a bridge, and the guns fired, and the bullets came and hit flesh, and he saw some of his buddies go down. And he told me about this, and sitting out in the car one day, and he said that he sent a buddy of mine out and said, "We need to take a load out. Some boys out there working behind the bridge where the bullets came." He said, "My buddy got picked up a little material and went out and heard the guns fire and heard the bullets hit place. And I saw my buddy go down, and they said, 'Sergeant Evie, take a load.' And he said, 'I got a load.' And I couldn't hardly walk and got in the water. And he said, 'I heard the guns fire and heard the bullets come.' And he said, 'Above all of that noise, I heard an old crippled arthritis woman in the state of Kentucky saying, "Oh God, don't let the enemy's bullets touch my boy." That little old ark of floating along, and Pharaoh's daughter walked out in the water and heard something in the water. And the first record of that we have, that little old babe was a crying. I believe maybe one of them angels went down there and said, "It's time to quit being good, boy." Moses said, Pharaoh's daughter turned and looked at that little, and if there's such a thing as a Cupid angel, I believe that angel just drew back at her and said, in the Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And she said, "Pretty little baby." She said, "That's one of Hebrews' tips. Boys, you know God can change the mind to poke out that that's dealing with your sons and daughters if you pray to God and stay on your knees before God. He'll change the mind." I see Moses is just here. She said, "The gator didn't get him. The gator didn't get him." I won't tell you. Some of you mamas and daddies ought to pray that your young'uns, stay around where other Christians are. That'll teach them about the ways of God. Old Brother Blue's daughter's going to school down there in Cleveland. And she wore them long dresses and had them long sleeves and carried that little old Bible, and they called her Granny. Every day at lunch, she'd open that lunch box and she'd stop and bow that head, see her mouth move, and then she'd go on and eat. And then after she, just a few minutes, she'd open that Bible and read just a little out of the Bible. And they'd laugh and say, Old Granny, she's a religious fanatic." But one day, in the afternoon, when a hot and a cold front met in the sky, and they got word a tornado's coming, and the principal said to the teacher, said, "This is for real." And they sounded the alarm, and the teacher said, "All right, now you children, all of you know how to do in the drills. And you know where to go, and you know how to get down on your knees and how to put your hands on. And everybody get to your place that you've been assigned to." And all of them got over and scrambled. And the wind began to rattle the window shades and rattle them panes in the window. And a bunch of them young ones went to cry, and she said, "What's the matter, y'all?" And they said, "We want to get away where Granny Blue is." She said, "She knows the God that's making the wind blow." Why, she said, "This here's one of them Hebrew babies. Against the law. Against the law. Her own father made the decree If she could have signed it, I suppose she would have. But oh, this is a different case. Because God had touched her heart for that little boy. My daughter went to work for a doctor, and I mean, she is unknowing about a lot of things, and they went to Canada. The doctor went up there to hold some kind of seminar. He's a hand surgeon in Louisville, Kentucky, and worked on some of the astronauts, and he'd go to Canada, and he'd take a bunch of the staff with him, and took my daughter with him, and they stayed in the hotel, and one day, one of the doctors said that they came down in the lobby. Now, this doctor doesn't claim to be a Christian, but he's just a little old short fella, and he's a Jew. And I sent him some messages that would just shake him up, I knew. And sometimes it'd make him mad, but then he'd send me a little old book on Jewish custom or something. I knew we was all right. And they came downstairs in the lobby one day to go out to some kind of seminar. And one of the doctors came up to my daughter, a young doctor, and said, what'd you do with them pictures, man? And so she didn't have them, of course. And she said, I forgot to bring them to you. They're up in my room. And she said, I'll go get them. And he said, I'll just go back up there with you. And my daughter didn't think anything. She said, all right. And just turned around and started towards the elevator. And that little old Jew doctor said, hey! Where you going, Doc? He said, we're going up to Nurse Milby's room. He said, no, you're not. He said, you stay here with me, Doc. You go up and get them. Hallelujah. You know what I believe? I believe that's a man that had them license to practice medicine. He's one of them alligators. He ran up against Daddy and Mama's past. Amen. Miriam said,
ma'am. Said, ma'am, would you like me to, I think I know somebody would like to do some babysitting. Said she's been babysitting actively now for 3 months and she'd like to babysit. And he said, yeah, go ahead and get one of them Hebrew mamas back up down in the house. I see Miss Jochebed saying, oh Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you, and I trust in you. Great God, I feel relief in my heart. This morning, Lord, I feel relief in my heart. How that something good's gonna happen to my boy. And I heard Jochebed say, Mama, Mama. She said, what, Mary? She said, yes, Lord. He said, Pharaoh's daughter has come and got Moses out of the bushes, and she said that she'd like for you to take care of it. But don't you tell Mama that you're that boy's mama. I see Jochebed go down there and get to say, you want me to take care of this boy? Say, yeah. Say, is he a good boy? I don't want to take care of no heathen now. So yeah, he's the only time he's cried when I was down there, and just all at once he busted out of crying down in him in flags, but the rest time he's been good. Yeah, get that little old baby. Carry him back up the house and get back up there and act like she kind of carried him under her arm. She got back up in the house and said, no, 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 no. Hallelujah! Where's that box? Thank God! Alligators! Alligators, stay away from my boy! She took that little boy in her home and nursed him up, and oh, she put something in his heart.
I don't know what all she done with him, but I believe that she sung Amazing Grace, How Sweet It Sound. I believe she sung to him, It's Better, Father, On. I believe she told him, Son, we've got a promise that one of these days, God's going to lead us out of this pilgrim land. While you're up there in Pharaoh's house, could you put in a good word for the deliverance of God's young'uns? You don't need to tell me she didn't put something in his heart. You say, how'd it turn out, preacher? Over in that same book in Hebrews, that same chapter, it said in the Moses chose wrath. I see him, Brother Parker down there walking up down the halls of them royal robes. He made them next in line for the fellowship. And he's walking one day up and down. Something that troubled me back yonder. An old mama that said one day, these are my people, Moses. These Jews are your people, Moses. And if you didn't do anything for us, would you do it? I see him look out the window. See them Jews out there are groveling in the dirt in servitude to the Egyptians when they had the promise of God on them. And I believe he reached up and looked at that old royal robe and laid her down on the side and said, Lord, I'm yours. I don't know what your youngin's going to do. I don't know what he's headed for, what she's headed for. But I wonder what you're going to do with him. Any little old babies in your house? Mama, I wonder if I could... She'd let me just carry her a little bit, you reckon? I think it's appropriate that I get this one. Reckon we ought to just throw her to the alligator. That little old head is up like that. I won't, darling. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all harm. Leaning on Jesus, stick that little old pacifier back in that little old baby's mouth for me right there. Oh. She don't want it. She said that she won't take that pacifier. She said, I'm already pacified. Oh, this sweet. Thank you, Lord. I wonder when you get home, you just go ahead and throw them out, them alligators. Or I wonder if you'll go back in the back room and start building you a little ark. And saying, I'm not afraid of the king's commandment. What the devil has decreed to do to my child, I refuse to accept it. Oh, baby, sweet baby doll, sweet baby doll. Oh, sweet baby. Mama. Won't throw you to the alligators. Wouldn't it be awful? Yeah. Is it nice, you know? Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful if we'd hear? If the alligators had that little old baby.
Mama, you shirked your duty, didn't you, to come up here and hear me preach, didn't you?
She did. She's supposed to be down yonder in the chow hole working the thing. But you see, God knows I need that little old child. I don't know what God's going to do with that boy, that girl of yours. Alligators. They're waiting in the alley. They're waiting in the alley for your boy and your girl.
It's up to you. You're doing the proper things. Some of you got boys and girls. You don't know what. You don't know what's going to happen next.
Little old boys and girls in your house are confused, and you're confounded about what to do, and all the hell's a stirring among your young'uns. Boys, I'll tell you what I'd do this morning. I'd settle it with their Creator. I'd have put up that invisible shield that would ward off all the alligators. Thank you, my Father, that you're able to see the man. That's right, Mama. I'd wave them young'uns on down. Dad and Mama, I'd get together and say no to the alligator. No, alligator. No, you'll not have my child. I'd go home and sing to them, pray with them, and shout with them. I'd bring them. I'd ask for permission for the Earl. I'd bring them down here and make them be quiet and see them in the place where they could hear the Word of God and hear the shouts of God's people and the preaching of the Word.
What are you going to do with your young'uns? Some of you got grand young'uns here. You don't know what in the world your children are doing, what they're doing, why in the world they're doing what they're doing with your grand young'uns. Boy, it'd be a good time if you get down here and pray through for your grand young'uns. Ask God to have mercy and give sense to your children to raise their young'uns right.
Them young'uns got your blood running in their veins. I don't believe I could stand it. The alligators are rolling in the river.